I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for British Amazon entrepreneurs. Or to put it another way, we're giving expert info for British Amazon sellers. So I don't know if I'd like to use the word expert about myself, but to be honest, I've been around the block with this stuff. I've been selling on Amazon for over 3 years. I've coached probably about 30 people one-to-one on this stuff now, and I've had, say, 30 or 40 more people go through my hands in masterminds. So that is something that gives me a certain insight into what gets people stuck and what helps people to succeed. You know, I've worked with people who are selling probably millions a year and people who just do nothing at all and then wander off into the sunset. So I've seen it all. By the way, if you did feel that I can help you with some one-to-one work and mentoring, I have got some spaces available, although it is very time intensive, so I'm very selective who I work with. And that's mostly so make sure that I only work with somebody I think I can help them. And if I can't help them, I won't work with them. So that is something that happens quite a lot. I do turn people down. But if you think that might be for you, check it out at amazingfba.com/mentoring. And if you want to apply, the application forms are there. It is application only. If I think you're suitable there or potentially said, well, we'll arrange a phone conversation or a Skype conversation these days. So back to the business. So what I want to talk about today is pretty simple on the surface of it, but is actually quite subtle when you examine it. And that is this idea of the magic criteria that people have for product selection. The first thing I want to say is product selection itself is BS. And that's something I've addressed in a recent episode. I don't think you should be doing, quote, product research at all. I don't think that really exists. I think what you're doing is keyword research. And what you should really, really be doing is thinking about a person in the pain. In other words, market research, who is your customer, who's your potential customer, and what do they want or what do they need? And most specifically, what problem do they have that you can solve? So the person and the pain or the person and the passion is really what you should be trying to understand. And if you start off by trying to sell products, at least initially, into a market that you have personally got experience with in your day job or in other parts of your life for many years, that is a very good starting point. But that's dealt with elsewhere. If you want to check out the other podcast, then look on the podcast app on iTunes or on Android if you're there, or go to iTunes or head over to blog amazingfba.com. Now, let's talk about this magic criteria, which I think is another myth. People often say things like, well, you should be getting a product that sells 1,000 units a month. You can get $10 profit per unit, and you know, it needs to weigh less than a pound and avoid supplements, for example. That is not itself bad advice. There are two problems with that. One, everybody else is hearing the same advice. And a lot of other people are using those criteria and they simply put them into Jungle Scout's web application or market intelligence or whatever other tools you use, and they end up with the same ideas as everybody else. So that means you're competing with everybody else, right? Now, I'm not saying this is an evil, terrible thing to do, but it's not particularly smart. I think it's much better to be a member of a target market or have a background. For example, I'm not a singer particularly, but I've worked with singers on and off for 10 years of my life as a professional coach, as a conductor, as an accompanist. So I really, really understand the market for music theater singers and opera singers. So I know what their pains are. And if I was going to offer something to them, I would understand them. And indeed, I do sell products on Amazon that coach. That deal with things that you know, choir singers would need, for example. And I should probably go back and sell more of those because I understand my market, right? So you don't have to do anything tricksy or clever in that way. You need to start with understanding your market better than somebody else. So that's the first point. It's better to understand a market that other people doesn't know it exists, or don't know exists rather, or they don't really understand their needs, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is that that takes no account of the huge disparities of wealth and time and expertise between different Amazon sellers, even if they're starting out off for the first time. I've got friends of mine, a friend of mine who just had his first $1 million month, who would regularly spend $40,000 just launching a product, but it made him a profit. Now, is that the sort of advice that's going around? No. And would I advise your average person to do that? No, not without knowing what their financial situation is. So the first thing to say about that is don't try and do private label product with peanuts money, because you really are up against it. I just don't think that's a good idea in 2018. I would say the minimum for me, well, the minimum person that I would work with for mentoring is about a £5,000 minimum in I'm not the only person. Brian Burt does one-to-one mentoring, and he would demand $7,500 in inventory, initial inventory money as a minimum. And I think that's quite sensible. Adam Hudson, who I respect greatly as one of the best trainers out there in terms of a sort of video training course with a community attached and so forth and some physical events, he again would agree around the $5,000 mark. So for me personally, that is about the minimum. If you're going to go below that, I think you can explore things like wholesaling. You could do retail arbitrage, online arbitrage, which are not really things I teach, but I have friends who do good money on those. Have to say they have a bigger budget than that, but that is a place you can start, right? So let's try and nail this down a little bit more, because I can tell you what I think is wrong, but let me try and tell you what I think is right. And this is getting a bit mathematical, but not very highly. The first and foremost thing to say before you plunge into getting too complicated about this is to bear in mind the overriding principle, which I think needs to be dinned in until you can't forget it, which is this. You are looking for a gap between demand and supply. It's that simple. Now, what does that actually mean? And how does it manifest itself on Amazon? What it means is, demand is a person with a problem and they're looking for a solution to it, right? So that's demand. Or a passion. For example, famously, golf is a very passionate market. So a person, 55-year-old business executive, male, white, lots of money, college educated, looking for a golf club or a set of golf clubs. Why? Because he's got a passion for golf. But probably more specifically, he's got a problem. He's not driving the ball far enough. Now, I'm trying to get into a market I don't understand, so that's not a good one to deal with, but you get the idea. So why is that important? Well, sometimes you can find that there's a demand for something without even there being sales. So one way of doing this is to use Amazon ads and to look at the impressions data that you get. So if I run ads, for example, on a coffee cup, right, or this stripy cup here, and I run ads with the keyword stripy coffee cup, and I discover that actually 500 people a month in the USA are searching for stripy coffee cup, and nobody seems to be offering that, then I have found a demand. And maybe there's one other person on page five for that keyword who's supplying it, but there's a nice gap. So it's the gap between supply and demand that we want. Now, that's a bit of an obscure idea. And by the way, I don't know if that number is real, so don't get excited. This is not an actual numbers off Amazon, okay? Before you rush out and buy stripy coffee cups. But the point is, that's a funny little niche that is never going to be that big. But for somebody with a very small budget, that's probably the sort of thing you need to go for. So in other words, very moderate demand, but very, very minimal supply. Bear in mind, if there is almost no competition for something, this is often a bad sign as well. So don't get too excited if somebody doesn't seem to be selling anything where you think there's demand. The best thing you can do is probably just try and sell something to that. So if you're going to go and private label something, but you're not sure about a marketplace and the data isn't really sure, then I would simply do some wholesaling or even retail arbitrage something just to try and get some numbers and just to get a sense of, is there actually demand here, or am I just imagining this? The other thing I would say, though, to be more specifically mathematical about this, is to try and work out whether you have the budget to try and launch into a marketplace. Let's give a tiny example. And because this involves a bit of math, so I'm going to give you a little spreadsheet. It's going to be very, very simple. It's nothing sophisticated. I'll put it at the blog for the relevant show notes. So just go to amazingfba.com/blog and look out for this episode. So let's say that you need to do about 2 weeks worth of launch of a product at a very low price point in order to launch it into the Amazon space and get it ranking for important keywords. That's your launch cost. And then you need to multiply that by at least 2 to 3 main keywords. So let's say a month's worth of units to get you launched, a month's worth of turnover. And then you're going to have to keep selling those units until you can restock it. So let's say, for example, you see that you can sell stripy coffee cups, and for stripy coffee cups and the word coffee cups with stripes is a bit of a tongue twister. You see that the total demand on Amazon is something like, or the total sales on Amazon is something like 100 units a month at about position 6, so above the fold. So you can get halfway up page 1, well visible. Well visible, that sounds very street, but very visible, highly visible. at about 100 units a month. But obviously, in order to get there, you're going to have to get a couple of weeks of sales under the right keywords. So let's say you launch under the keywords striped coffee cups and coffee cups with stripes and maybe one other for 2 weeks, and overall that's about 50 units over the course of those 2 weeks. For those two per keywords, that's about 100 units to launch. And let's say your lead time is 2 months to get this stuff made in China for you, so that means you need at least 200 cups if you're expecting to sell 100 units a month. 2 months worth of stuff, you're going to need at least 200 cups to sell once you've got the thing ranked before you run out of inventory. Okay, so let's say you need to have enough money for 300 cups, but of course once you reorder stuff halfway through, you're going to have to pay for that new inventory as well. So you need enough now for the launch, you need enough for the first set of inventory so you don't run out of stock, and then you need enough for reorder. So you're going to be looking even at this funny little niche, and as I say, this is made up, so I don't know if this is true, but the numbers are a good example that you're going to be looking about 500 units you're going to need to be able to put in your initial budget before you've probably got most of that money back. Okay, it's probably worst case scenario, but it's a realistic scenario. So then you, let's say that they cost you £5 each, you're suddenly looking at a budget of about $2,500 just for the cups. And then maybe you need to add on about 25%, say, for Amazon ads costs and other related launch costs. So let's say as a ruffle of some 750. Now, without doing a bunch of complicated research, let's say those mugs sell for £15 each on Amazon, and you can assume that somebody's going to be landing them for a third or about a quarter of the selling price, maybe a fifth if they've done their sums well. So that gives you a very, very, very rough and ready way of looking at a market and assessing whether you could afford to go into it. Obviously, there are many more complicated calculations you can make on the way, not many very complicated ones, but more things you need to assess to see whether it's realistic. But it just gives you a flavor that even going into what looks like a small market, once you launch something, once you've stocked it properly to rank properly and sell through and keep the sales going, and then once you've budgeted for restocking it, you do need to have quite a bit of a bigger budget, even for a modest looking product, than a lot of people think. So if you are going with a budget of £5,000, I wouldn't be going after something where you're making thousands of sales a month. And it's, you know, all those sort of abstract criteria become irrelevant if you have a small budget. If you have a budget of £50,000, I would question why you're looking at such, you know, low demand markets. So really your budget needs to be a really important function of how you choose your products or your niches that you're going to go after. And I think that a rough rule of thumb, these are very, very rough numbers, but just to give you a starting point, to give you a filter, rather than using some artificially fixed and pristine looking criteria that don't really work, let's say take the selling price, chop it to a third or a quarter, multiply it by the number of units you need to launch, which is maybe on three or four main keywords, times 2 weeks worth of demand for each keyword, if you're serious. And then you look at the overall demand that you'll like to sell over a month. And then you look at the lead time a month. And then you look at your reorder costs, and that is a solid launch model for you to use. So in other words, if it sells for 20 quid, you can buy it for 5 quid. You're going to need to give away over the spread of, say, four main keywords, 100 units to launch, and then you expect to do 100 units a month, 2 month lead time, so you need 200 in stock, and then you're going to have to reorder, and at that point you're going to have to reorder another 200 to deal with the next couple of months worth of demand. You're looking at 500 units, £5 per unit, 2,500 plus a rule of thumb, say 25% to spend on Amazon ads. You're looking at about 3,100 budget. Then you need to look at your budget and go, is that affordable for me? And in many cases, that would be yes. In some cases, that would be a no. If you're looking at something that does 1,000 units a month and sells for $40 in the USA, for example, let's say that roughly you'd expect to spend $10 per unit in inventory costs, you're going to have to do a big aggressive launch across lots of different keywords. So maybe you're looking at giving 1,000 units away, and then you're going to have 1,000 units for the first couple of months, maybe 2,000 units across the first couple of months as a whole. Then you start looking at quite big numbers quite quickly. So you could well be looking at $10,000 to $20,000 needed just to launch that product. Now, I'm sorry that this is a bit messy. I'll try and clean it up in the downloadable spreadsheet. I can't really give a very precision, neat answer to this question in one go, which I guess is one reason why I do one-to-one mentoring and work in masterminds, because it's hard to just do this stuff in the abstract. It comes down to the specifics, really. But what I would say is forget about abstract criteria. Look for a gap between demand and supply, and then make sure that your budget constraint is the thing that deals with this. Insofar as I've been able to sort of get this thing down as a systematic way of doing things that is repeatable and simple to put down, I've done it in a PDF guide, which I'd strongly advise if this is something that worries you as an area or where you feel you need more guidance, I'd advise you to download that. It's perfectly free. You just need to give your email address, and that is at amazingfba.com. And apart from the picture at the top with me speaking at Web Retailer event a few months ago, the next thing down, you'll see a black bar, which says killer product research guide. I've called it product research because that's what most people think it is. I personally prefer to think of it as market research, but whatever you call it, you can download that, guys. 25 pages of goodness. It's a free PDF with lots of pretty pictures and as few numbers as possible, but there are some numbers in there. So that should give you a helpful guide around that as well. If you still find yourself stuck and you want to ask some specific questions, you don't have to reveal the exact product you're selling, but you could put up some screenshots from Jungle Scout, or you can share some numbers or whatever helps you. Get yourself over to the Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FB, as in F as in face, B as in book, and join about 1,100 other sellers there or would-be sellers. And I get in there every so often and answer questions as well. And you can get some input from some really quite experienced people who knock around that forum these days as well. And that is probably a great place to get some specific help. Hope this is helpful. I'm sorry not to give you some neat little tied in a bow way of doing things. Tempting as it is to provide that, I just think that's an oversimplification, doesn't really time with reality. More to come on this. Do get in touch and give me your feedback via the Facebook group, because I will respond if you feel there's a need for an area that you're confused by, you want some help. I will try and create some podcasts to help you specifically. Thanks in the meantime for listening and or watching.